Welcome to the Minibank Gang Podcast, episode 149, recorded Friday, December 16th, 2011. This is Tim Elliott, and I'm on with our roving reporter reporting from St. Paul, Graham Thickens.
Yeah, up early over at Coco in St. Paul's lower town.
It's and just across place. Town, just across town from me here in Lakeville is none other than Phil Wilson.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Graham. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been like 12 hours.
It wasn't even that.
So both of you guys are at the W3I Christmas party or holiday party. Yeah. I wasn't able to make it, and of course, Steve is out of town, so he's not even going to make it here on the podcast. So how was that that party?
We had a great time, and you know, it was really nice to see the Webbers step up, Rob and Ryan and Jason to step up and put together this really nice party for everybody. And it was really kind of a reflection of just what's going on in tech, you know, and with the developers, and it was just a chance for everybody to get together and have a good time. So very much appreciative of W3I for what they did. And Graham and I got to give away some awards last night, some very stylish awards, I might add, that included the Minivate logo. So we, you know, we got our own little trophies floating out there now. So it was a lot of fun. So Graham, you were run down some of the winners, you know, the people that we recognized. Do you remember those right off the top of your head?
Yeah, and we probably should have prefaced the whole thing. I don't know if Rob remembered to do this, that we chose from amongst those that were nominated. So if people thought we were choosing from the entire community, that was not the case. There were about 20 to 30 companies that were nominated, that submitted nominations in five categories, and so Rob let Phil and I do the honors of announcing them, and we had you want me to tick them off here real quick?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, we had five categories: enterprise or B2B, and that was Field Nation, which is doing amazingly well. And then in the social category, we named Zingstring, which is doing scaling of social media conversations for big brands and political campaigns, and at least that's what they're hoping to do. They're just kind of coming out of stealth and getting rolling. And in the web app category, KidBlog was the winner in that category. They, of course, have over a million users, as you guys know. In the consumer category, we named a really cool app called Red Stamp, which does, you know, cards and greetings online and print. It's a gorgeous app. Go look at it on iOS. And then the mobile category, we named My Taiwai, which is totally interactive weather info. And that's Dave Dahl and his son, Andy Dahl, is the founder of that. So, yeah, and then we did two special awards, Phil. Why don't you that was pretty fun.
We did the Big Balls Award. We thought it was a ballsy move for a group like Jim Erdem and Project Skyway to actually go out there and set up an incubator in times like this locally. So we wanted to recognize cojones. Them. Yeah, big cojones. And then we also recognized the exit of the year, Graham. You know these guys very well. So.
Yeah, Doug Berg, I actually invited to the event, and I think he would have liked to have been there because, you know, he's styling right now because the company he founded was, of course, acquired for $110 million in cash, which he founded in 2003, Jobs to Web. And so he sent his regards, and we thought we'd kind of honor that because we don't have too many deals in this town of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm. So also thanks to Coco in Minneapolis for putting that on. That was a great event. Sorry you couldn't make it, Tim.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't either. It's just a late call. It's when you work for people in California, you know, they just sometimes you have to do calls late in the evening.
The wine was a flowing though.
Well, later after the call it was actually.
Good.
So Graham, social media breakfast, what's the topic this time?
Well, isn't it sort of entrepreneurship, sort of doing your own thing? And I think it's sort of maybe some might be some people that hang out here at Coco St. Paul that are on the panel. I'm not really knowledgeable of who the folks are. I read one was a law firm, and who else, Phil?
Well, it's going to be moderated by Don himself, Don Ball over at Coco. And I might be a little bit reminiscent of their little last roundtable discussion when Google was in town, when Eric Schmidt was in town. Participants are Kareem Ahmed, Sarah Burt. I think this is a typo because I don't know if they just have Davis down here, the founder of the Davis Law Office. So I don't know if
maybe
he has a first name.
Maybe he's like Prince, you know?
Like,
I mean,
Prince,
you don't need
or, yeah,
more than one name.
Or Madonna, yeah.
He could be like a really famous lawyer. I don't know.
Megan McAndrews and Kate O'Reilly will also be spending time on that panel. So I think it'll be a good time and very interesting stuff. Entrepreneurship, very, very big thing in times like, in times like this. And Coco is built around that. So I think you'll have a good time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It'll be great. It's starting to fill up here, and excuse the background noise. But anyway, I wanted to go back to last night. I was going to say, I'll bet you there were over 200 people at that thing. And it was amazing how many new people were there that I didn't know. And there were a ton of people that probably should have been there that weren't there. But I guess it's so busy at Christmas time, you know, that people have too many things going on. But wow, there were some great conversations and introductions being made last night. I just want to, back up what you said, Phil. It was an awesome party for W3I to put on. They spent a lot of money and a lot of time doing that thing. It came off great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So
last week we talked about... Oh, I'm sorry, Graham.
I was going to say the night before, the MEMA holiday party was a blast, too. I bet you there were 300 or more people at that at the Institute of Arts. And so that was a lot of fun. And I got to say, I had a really funny thing happen there. So I got a dressing down from a really important guy about why he hasn't been a guest on Minovate Gang podcast yet. It was so funny. I mean, he did it sort of in jest, but it really wasn't in jest, you know? And it's like, I've thought of having you on, and I think I've suggested it, but we just haven't been able to. I won't say who he is, but we'll be getting him on in the future, or
You're going to bow to pressure. I understand.
So the mystery upcoming guest.
Yeah, people are starting to want to be guests on the podcast. This is amazing. I mean, this is a very important dude. So anyway, that was a fun occurrence.
Very nice.
We'll have to have that person on sometime in January.
Very nice.
Or February or March, whenever we can.
I think we better, or he won't leave me alone.
So last week we talked about the Amazon promotion where they would give you $5 if you scan something in a store and then bought it later on Amazon. And now eBay is doubling that offer to give you $10. So you found that one, Phil. So
I think that's kind of funny. But the difference between this and the Amazon thing is you have to spend $100 with eBay. So to get the $10.
Well, so I don't get the tie-in with the brick and mortar. So this is to counter the Amazon stuff.
And they're working with a certain number of folks. Hey, Graham, that's really loud. Could you mute a little
bit? Yeah, I better mute. Yeah, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. He's getting naked. But they're working with certain retailers. It's not, it's not a broad amount of retailers. So it's those that I believe.
It's Toys R Us, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Aeropostale.
Right. And Aeropostale, so. Yeah. So, but I find that interesting that it's all about, now moving, trying to move people from brick and mortar to web. But we'll see how that goes. It's sort of a related thing that I don't think it necessarily impacts what's going on with Best Buy right now, but other things have impacted Best Buy, and they're looking at pretty bad right now. They're struggling a mite.
Worst numbers in 9 years.
Yeah.
There's talk that Randy Dunn's days may be numbered and that, they really need to figure out how to really compete with Amazon and what Amazon's doing, because they've pretty much been marginalized to having to slash, prices on stuff to get people to buy them, and that they're not going to be able to make their numbers if they do that. So, mm-hmm. you've got to you've got to really think that those guys down there at Best Buy headquarters are really got a tough job trying to figure out, you know, how to compete with Amazon online.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how some of this pans out. And Graham, I know you're back on with us. I know you're muting from time to time, but you know, we have a lot of acquaintances. All of us have a lot of friends that consult or work within the Best Buy walls. And we've always talked about, at least I've always talked about, you know, they are clearly a retail industry or a retail business that does a lot of tech development. And I've always felt like that tech development is going to be influenced by how much retail they generate and how many dollars they generate from retail. Do you think there's going to be an impact on that, those technological leaps and experiments that they're doing, Graham?
God, I sure hope so, because they spend a lot of time and money on that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's still a big mystery to me as to what really is going to be the next shoe to drop for them. I mean, you know, to me, it just keeps coming back, and Tim's brought this up before, the experience in the store, you know. I mean, in my mind, what they need is more of that mojo like Apple retail has brought, you know, to the world of retail, Apple stores. So, you know, the services, you know, the which started with Geek Squad and go beyond, that's really a large part of their future. Do you guys feel that,
you know, to get that experience, Graham, you're talking about probably, you know, that's very much counter to a big box outlet kind of concept or a big box store kind of concept. Do you see them having to scale back in size of brick and mortar and making it more of an intimate experience and putting more time into, I don't know what, you know, because you have to talk about training and employee retention and things like that. So,
yeah, I think they do. I think they're trending towards smaller stores. I mean, I think that's got to be the future. You know, a big real estate ain't gonna do it. You know, big expansive stores. You know, and you know, I don't know why I just thought of this, but they're also leasing out space in the headquarters now too. I wonder how they will be divesting of some of the large retail spaces they have. I don't know. They can't really sublease those, or maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know what plans they have potentially to lease out space in the stores. Who knows? You know, I just think they got to work on the experience, you know, because, and they're getting better, or at least I kind of notice it, but I just go to the Eden Prairie store once in a while. So, you know, I'm not really a fair, you know, evaluator of, hey, Michael, I'm not really a fair evaluator of the Best Buy experience, but it you know, it's a marked difference from the Apple store. We all know that, and you know, they got to be working to try to get some of that magic, you know, to delight the consumer, you know, who's coming in with their phone, checking out prices everywhere. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, that is the future.
They can't deny it. You know, it isn't going to change. So they better figure out how they're going to delight the customer and, you know, do what the shopper wants. You know, and the online. I mean, their online store keeps growing. I mean, what is that thing? That thing was doing $2.5 billion in sales a year. In 2010, I think. You know. So, you know, they're continuing to grow that, but, you know, that's constantly trying to keep ahead of the technologies. But, you know, they are under pressure right now. The stock and the earnings are certainly under pressure, and I'm sure there's a lot of plans in motion to try to reverse things, and we'll just have to keep watching what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. We wish them the best of luck, and you know, they've certainly have a tough road ahead. But they're an innovative company, and they're going to innovate again.
And on, you know, and they're not alone in the space. I mean, there's a lot of you know, retail, brick and mortar that are trying to come to you know, some grasps with how to proceed into the future. And it's not, this is not a new new problem that they're facing. So
no.
Hopefully, I mean, I really enjoy the fact that they are out there trying to develop new and exciting technology, and really, you know, they branch into the mobile space and the online space, the e-commerce space. They've done a lot, and I hope they can continue to do that. But I think the realism is that if they ain't making money in the stores, then everything else has kind of got to hold up until they can figure out, you know, crack that nut. So,
we're all, of course, waiting to see those electric motorcycles show up in their stores, right?
That's what it is. The scooters. I think scooters are their saving grace.
The future, baby.
The future, baby. Well, listen, on a more fun note, though, I did notice that the Google Zeitgeist for 2011 is out. Have you ever spent any time on that website at all?
Yeah.
It's an incredible website. It's an incredible website. The amount of time that's put into this to put together their active graphs and things like that. It's a very much an exciting sort of thing to go to. But you know, the Zeitgeist basically talks a little bit about how the world searched in 2011. And Graham, have you seen this?
No, I have not taken a look at that. Tim,
have you seen it?
Yeah, I've got it up right now.
Darn. Well, I was going to quiz you. So okay. What do you, Graham, what do you think the number three most search person was in 2011?
Number three search.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs?
No.
Close. Not really close, actually.
Well, he's number nine.
he's on the top ten.
Oh. Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, he's the jackass guy.
The jackass guy.
Who unfortunately died in a car accident in June.
His untimely death. Yeah. So,
I don't even know about that. So
number two was Google Plus. Most searched was Google Plus. Interesting that Google would have number two and their own product on their own site. But yes, number two was Google Plus. The number one most searched, Rebecca Black, the Friday singing sensation. Is number one, but if you look at the rest of the search, the rest of the top 10, iPhone 5 is number 6, Steve Jobs is number 9, and the iPad 2 is number 10. So Apple has good presence in the world of the Google Zeitgeist.
I like the way how Google had somebody sitting at their headquarters searching Google Plus, Google Plus, Google Plus.
You're right.
they probably had a room full of monkeys doing that to make number two.
Well, you know. Well, and the great thing is the monkeys don't need to drive. They've got those automated cars. So, yeah.
So they have a bunch of top 10 lists in the Zeitgeist. And so if you look at, say, fastest rise in consumer electronics, it's kind of interesting because you see, you know, quite a few Apple things, but you see number one is the Amazon Kindle Fire as a top one. And the Sidekick 4G, which I wouldn't have thought would have even been in a top 10, is number three.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to go through them and take a look. And they've got them broken down by region as well. So you can take a look at what's hot in North America and Europe and Asia and Africa. So.
You know, it's what's kind of interesting is I was sitting here looking, you know, this is a very interactive website, the Zeitgeist site is, and I use Chrome. I don't know, has anybody else had any problems? Since this is a very JavaScript heavy site, my JavaScript doesn't always work in Chrome, and it drives me nuts. Does anybody else have that problem?
No. I find that when I have a lot of tabs open in Chrome, sometimes it becomes unstable. Yeah. And several of the tabs crash, and you have to kill them. But that's the only thing. But it only happens when I have more than 10 or 15 tabs open.
Interesting. It's a little side note there. Sorry about that. Graham, and you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't Zeitgeist the name of the conference they do too? Don't they do an annual conference called Zeitgeist, which is by invitation only?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, because Robert Stevens gets to go to that, I know.
Well, in other online and social news, Facebook timeline rolls out.
It seems like that was announced like 6 months ago, and you know,
in beta. It was in beta,
and we all, well, at least I went out and became a Facebook developer. Actually, I was a Facebook developer before, but you know, only developers could put that on their profiles, and so a lot of us did that, and I really like it. And now it's finally rolling out, but it seems to be very controversial.
Yeah, I've
had it. Why have I had it for a while? Did they roll it out? No,
is your special?
I don't know how they did that. I mean, I didn't elect to have it, did I?
Yeah, you did. So now what they're doing is they're rolling out, and on top of your profile, they will let you opt in to it. I'm not sure how long that's going to be happening, though.
How long the opt-in is going to happen?
I'm assuming that at some point they're going to force you to take it.
Well,
so, yeah.
It depends.
Yeah. Well, as you said, Phil, it's not the most exciting news, and we'll see how it happens. I like it, though. I think it's a good idea. There are some privacy concerns, but you've got control that you can go in and hide stuff or delete stuff.
Well, I just went to mine, and it is now live, and it's incredibly sluggish. For example, my top image shows up, and I am now waiting patiently for anything to populate under it. Oh, there it is. Now it's populated. So it's still not without its problems, but there you go.
Yeah.
I got an interesting Facebook tidbit that I picked up this morning before I drove over here. Somebody did a study in Britain, and 76% of the photos on Facebook over there are people drunk.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Intoxicated.
That's not good. Yes. Well, that's not a best. That's not a best practice.
Well, listen, before we, you know, we're going to do a short cast today, obviously. You know, it's the holidays, and Graham is mobile and Steve is gone. So we do want to highlight one a little bit that is obviously, I think, a pretty important topic right now. And that is the SOPA bill that is working its way through our legislative system and how we feel about that. And Tim, why don't you, in a nutshell, do us the favor of condensing the SOPA.
Yeah, it's SOPA stands for the Stop Online Piracy Act, and it's also known as HR 3261. It's currently in what do they call that in the House?
In committee.
Yeah, it's currently in committee, and the last couple of days they've been having hearings on it. It's been proposed by the Hollywood folks, and I'm assuming people like the recording industry as well are behind this.
Which
make it easier for the U.S. government to take control of the DNS system, the domain name system, so that they could effectively censor websites that are accused of copyright violations. And so it's under, you know, something that we all would support, which is to stop piracy online. But the concern that a lot of the groups like the EFF, which we have in the show notes, and others have brought forward, is that this could be used for censoring speech and all sorts of other things. And we don't want to see the internet, the architecture of the internet, where no one country really controls it, to be changed. And it's just a bad precedent. So there'll be a lot of conversation over the holidays here. I don't think it's going to make it to the floor of the House until early next year, hopefully, but they may want to push it through before the holiday. And word on the street is that even though that there will be some changes enacted in the language of the bill, that it's likely it'll be approved.
Which is scary. You know, a lot of this has to do with monetizing the internet. It comes down to that. Now, is piracy a problem for intellectual property and people's intellectual property? Of course it is. But you sometimes wonder, in our efforts to control or protect those, that we really kind of give up a lot of rights and a lot of the things that are incredibly important that we protect about the internet. You know, we put that in jeopardy. Graham, well,
to kind of put this in perspective,
yeah.
Other countries that are doing the same sort of DNS blocking are the People's Republic of China, Iran, and Syria. So, I mean, these are kind of, you know, some of the most repressive countries as far as free speech are concerned in the world. And to have the U.S. kind of join that group is, I think, chilling.
It's not, yeah, it's not exactly the, you know, the best people you want to hang with. So,
no.
Graham, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I don't have any. I just ate some bacon and bagel, though, and damn, it was good. But they're getting ready to fire. They're getting ready to fire this thing up. So I suppose I should try to bail out here pretty quick.
I understand. Well, listen, we're going to keep our eyes on SOPA as we kind of progress through here. I did want to just kind of highlight, if you have a chance, check our show notes. But if you have a chance, take a look at Louis C.K.'s experiment as far as marketing his intellectual property, his comedy at the Beacon Theater. He did an incredibly dedicated experiment to making this special, this comedy special, available to people who wanted to buy it. He produced it himself. He spent the money. He invested it in himself and made it incredibly easy to download for just $5. With the caveat that he said, "Listen, I'm making this available for $5. I do want to make money at what I love and what I do. So I'm making it incredibly cheap." And in return, I ask that you not steal it and you not make it available on torrents and things like that. And as of 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I guess, he was reporting that they'd made about $200,000 in profit on the venture. He said that a lot of people are not stealing it. He's not seeing wide violations of what he considered his pact with users. So he was very happy about that. He said right now, as of that writing, again, that was 3 days ago, he said he still would have made more money himself had he just worked with like an HBO or something like that. But I think it's an interesting model and a very aggressive model to see what can be done to allow the artists to make more money and not necessarily have to pay, you know, other industries as well.
Yeah, I think he priced it right at $5. If he tried to price it at say $20 or $15 or $20, it might have been different as far as from a piracy standpoint. But I think he can, you know, after this initial flurry of direct sales, he could certainly license this to Amazon streaming and Netflix and make even more money over time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to keep track of that too.
Yeah, so we'll come back at some point and revisit that story.
Yep, we'll come back to SOPA. Well, next week though, we'll be off for the Christmas break. So we hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas, right?
And what's coming up on the anything coming up here? It looks like there's something at Coco in Minneapolis on the 21st.
Okay. Yeah, that looks interesting. It's called
How to Leverage Digital Media to Build Your Business and Raise Capital. And we mentioned this last week that it's free to members of COCO.
That's right. Yep.
And the Entrepreneurs Organization, but it's $500 to the general public.
Whoa.
And it's limited to 40 people. So I'm assuming that by now they probably have those 40 slots taken up. But if you're interested in that, take a look at it. And we'll have a link to the sign-up page in the show notes. But I think that's the only thing that I've got on the upcoming events, and we'll have to wait till January to see
year is winding,
what's going to be happening.
Yep.
So I guess
are we going to do like our predictions, our 2012 prediction show? Will that be our next one?
Yeah, that'll be show 150, and that'll be just before
the new year.
So we always do that the last week of the year. So Steve will be back for that, so in 2 weeks. So stop back by, and
we should probably revisit our predictions for 2011, see if we were even close.
We should probably do that. I think Graham has had a pretty good hit rate, though.
Oh, Graham is always.
Oh, I am.
You know, he always wins that.
Remember. I don't even remember what I predicted, but that'll be fun to go back and look at that. Yeah.
You predicted that the week before the end of the year, you would say, I don't even remember what I predicted. So
the memory, it's going.
It's going. All right. Listen, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks very much for joining us. And thanks for tuning into the Minivate Gang podcast.
Happy holidays.
Have a great Christmas, everybody.
Have a great holiday. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Pieces. I've held them so long, and still I don't know where they all belong. And some they might find their way into a song. And as for the rest, well, I wonder. And as for mistakes, I've made plenty, I guess. Busted teeth and broken hearts and all of the song. And as for the rest, well, I